Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the consistently changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show. For tuning in each and every week, we bring to you guests and commentary, certainly facts about what's happening in the mortgage real estate industries, both on a macro level, that is nationwide, as well as locally in our San Bernardino, Riverside, L.A. County, Orange County, Inyo County areas that KCAA, great station that we're on, services. Appreciate those people, Fred, and all the people over there who do what they do to bring you to us. They also bring us to you on podcasts. There are several podcasts. We'll get to that a little bit later. And we're also on YouTube, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voices YouTube. Yes, we shoot this for YouTube video. So if you want to go there, YouTube is a great place to see all kinds of things in the mortgage industry. And as I said, education is always the key to be able to get what you want when you want. Market changes the way it is. Let's get right to it. Okay, so if we're talking rates, and we are talking rates most of the time, because I think the rate discussion is the most, I guess, talked about statistic in the mortgage industry that your regular person on the street can really relate to. So the 30-year fixed rate, and that's what we always talk about first, is at 6.20. Now, that's down about a point, almost a point and a half from its highs about two and a half months ago, which is pretty good, but it's still way off its lows about a year ago, about 3%. So we're in that middle area where we're not quite sure whether we're going to go up or we're going to go down, although we have been trending down. Bits and pieces of it come up, and then we go back down a little bit. We're looking as an industry to try to get these rates in the fives. 5 to 5.5% on a 30-year fix would be awesome. If we can get to there before June, we should have a pretty good summer sales season. If we don't, we're going to probably be slow as we were for the latter half of 2022. So 30-year fix rate today is at 6.20. The 15-year fix, and I always love that 15-year fix, is at 5.25%. During the downward trend of mortgage interest rates that happened over the last, well, if you can track it back 5 to 10 years, really, off of 2007, 2008, all the way up to 2012, when we had the low range for housing prices, we've seen the mortgage rates really come down very steadily from there. And certainly when we had the pandemic and the infusion of cash from the federal government, as well as the moratorium on a lot of lates for either mortgages or rent payment, we saw a ton of rate reductions in order to stimulate the market, really kept the economy going and afloat through the pandemic. We paid for it later with inflation, as everybody knows. But that 5.25% 15-year fixed is a great rate. I had a rate, let's see, this is going back maybe 5-6 years ago, that was 5.25% on a 15-year, which I had got, obviously, 15 years prior to that. And the good thing was for me is it allowed me to pay off my house. I could afford the extra bit of money in the payment. Of course, at that particular low interest payment, people may look at 5.25% today on a 15-year and say, wow, that's really high. Well, it's not really high. I mean, we had super low interest rates on the 15-year for maybe 3 years. But on the, for the most part, it is historically a very low rate. So what was good for me at that time was I had enough money to be able to pay that extra bit money that I had to pay because it was a 15-year rather than a 30. So we were able to obviously pay the house off, and that's a good thing. And by the way, anybody over 65 who owns their own house, chances are they've got a paid-off house. That seems to be what it is with older people who still own their house. They have paid it off, and that's a trend that cuts across a lot of different ethnic groups, a lot of different racial groups. And so for those of us who are of that age and have the house paid off, yeah, that's how I did it. So the FHA loan is at 5.8%. The jumbo is at 5.72, and the 5/1 ARM is at 6.04. The 2 year is at 4.2, and the 10 year is at 3.5. As I said last week, we are tying the 30-year fixed rate to the 10-year. And this is a new way to calculate and look at where we need to be in terms of the Fed funds rate. So if we're looking at 3% over prime for what this difference is, we've got the 10-year at 3.5 and the 30-year fixed at 6.2. So that's almost 2.75%. So 2.75% is where we need to be if we're talking about the spread between the two. They really want to see that spread be at about 3.5%. And that means that we're probably going to see the Fed increase. That means increase their Fed funds rate. As everyone knows, the Fed funds rate, you know, that things like your credit cards, your car loan, short-term interest payments that you would have to make to your lender, to your bank, not your lender, not your mortgage lender, that's for sure. But it does tangentially affect because some of the money that's in the system gets sucked out, in which case increases the mortgage interest rate that you would be paying on a 30-year fixed rate mortgage. So these things happening, this is what's going on in rates. This is what's going on in the bond market. I'll share a few quick things for you before we get to some of the meat of the show. The share of American adults planning a home purchase this year in 2023 dropped to 13% from 15% in the fourth quarter of 2022. Interestingly enough, that coincides obviously with rates and obviously with inflation and recession talk that took place towards the end of last year. We have seen a little bit different approach how we in the marketplace, in the industry, are looking at 2023 Q1, 2023 Q2. There is not as much doom and gloom in the marketplace. In the stock market, certainly not. It is volatile, but it has seen from not only the Santa Claus rally, which they kind of got in the last week to 10 days of 2022 in December, but we also see at the beginning of 2023 that we have more positive days than negative days. Now, granted, we look at, you know, whether it's the consumer price index or the producer price index or the manufacturer's index, all of these blended indexes and what they mean for inflation, we've seen really inflation come a bit more down. What I mean by that is it's 6.5%, the blended rate for that. We did see yesterday coming out the manufacturer's index, and that particular index also went up. Now, what that means is that they're making more stuff than they were. Now, anything over 50 in the index indicates that we're in a positive space for that particular index. Now, none of these indexes are over 46, 46.8, I think, is the consumer price index. But what we have is a trend, and the trend is in the right direction. So people in the real estate industry, people wanting to sell a house in the mortgage industry, are cautiously optimistic that we might have a better Q1 and Q2 than we thought. We had been predicting on this show we would be into a recession by second or third quarter of 2023. And I do not know if that can hold, although I would still say that we are looking at possibly a recession. Now, what do I mean? Is it an employment or an employee recession, i.e. that labor force will get laid off heavily? I don't think those layoffs have come. And the reason they haven't come is because people are still spending money. But we did see a downturn in people spending money last month. So if that particular, even during the Christmas season, right? So if we see that as a trend, yeah, we're going to have some issues probably in Q3. So let's get through a few more statistics. Starts, housing starts down 3%, completions up. 1.507 million has the most completions in housing since 07. Completions are good, but housing starts are better, and certainly permitting is even better than that. Those trends, you know, we're still down a lot of houses, right? We need more housing in order to ease the housing crisis, because regardless of what's going on, and we're going to get to this in the next section, real estate has its own issues. And I want to get to that because real estate really affects a great deal of what we talk about on the show. Sure, there's the macro and all this other numbers are fine, but can I afford the house? What's the price? And is it worth what I'm paying next week? Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks for tuning in, and we will be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show, for coming on and listening to what we have to say on a weekly basis. Weekly, it's interesting. Sometimes we see these macro trends go through the marketplace, you know, and it takes a long, long time. Sometimes it happens really quickly. In order to stay on top of it, you have to have people who are not only nose to the ground, but people who know programs and know different lenders. So we bring back to the program Charles Giscombe, who is the QE, the responsible individual in Las Vegas, Nevada, for Malibu Funding, the company that sponsors this show, employs me. Really appreciate him coming on now. Charles, how are you?
Outstanding, Jeff. Thanks for having me again.
Thank you very much. Thanks for coming on. Okay, let's just talk just macroly about what you see happening in the mortgage rates, because that's what everybody likes to focus on and talk about, and it's easy to do so because it's published every day. We've seen a little uptick, but we're kind of stuck here at the 6% range.
Absolutely. This is the 6% range. And you know what? People are always expecting it to be worse than it is, Jeff.
Yep.
But we're still here in the 6% range. We're in 2023. The world hasn't changed and hasn't stopped, you guys. We're still moving forward. There's still properties out there. There's still money being given away out here in the mortgage industry. And it's still a great opportunity for you to jump into the market and get some deals done. Whether you do it traditionally, whether you do it non-conventionally, there's still money out here and deals out here to get done.
That's interesting. Okay, so money in the marketplace. And I agree with you. I talked about it a little bit earlier in the show, just about how the Fed continues to raise interest rates. And what that really does is try to suck money out of the marketplace to try to kill demand. It's just not happening. So lenders, especially in the non-QM, even in the hard money world, they have money to lend. And they have money to lend on all kinds of different properties and scenarios. Give us a couple that you're working on now.
Absolutely. So at Malibu Funding, in our culture, we do everything across the board. And I just said, there's money out there for all of you. As far as traditional loans are concerned, you know what? You can get still a great interest rate loan with Rocket Mortgage or one of the different vendors that we deal with. There's still conventional money out there. There's still government money out there with low interest rates. On the non-QM realm, if you're still having difficulty with your taxes being filed or different situations, there's non-QM money. There's bank statement loans. Those interest rates are only a point or two higher than what the conventional or traditional rates are right now, which will allow someone to still get into the market, still have a fairly decent interest rate based upon where the market is right now, and not have to worry about traditional structure. And those deals are, I'm working on a deal right now, Jeff, 90% LTV, 12 months bank statements, 8% interest rate. People are moving forward and getting these deals done. No mortgage insurance on that deal. No matter how big it is, that deal can go up to $3.5 million. So now you're not getting hit with mortgage insurance. You're not facing many of the other things that you would face in a traditional loan that would have you having to have mortgage insurance, worrying about jumbo or conforming, all these different things. There's a way for you to get in and still get a good deal done and still be competitive. As far as interest rates are concerned, where we currently stand right now.
Now, you talked about 90% loan, 10%
yes.
down.
Yes.
Is that a traditionally, is traditionally the way that you look at rate? If you're putting less down, you're going to pay more in the rate. Is that how it works?
Well, in a lot of cases, yes. Obviously, if you're putting 3.5% down or you're going on an FHA loan.
Oh, that's a little different.
But I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't say that because FHA still has really good rates.
Right, they do.
I will say, from a non-QM standpoint, Jeff, you know what? That interest rate, you're putting 10% down. Obviously, the FICO scores need to be a little bit higher when you're putting 10% down.
Right.
But I'm still doing deals for people at 85% LTV with a 660 FICO score.
Wow.
So there's still deals out there for you. If your credit is not grade A, you can. There's still a loan out there for you with a fairly competitive interest rate, for sure.
What is the? Give us an idea of what best credit is, because I think a lot of people look at their credit and they don't know whether it's good or bad. I know that when I first, started buying things way back in the day, a 620 credit score, you could still get a lot. Now today, if you have a 620 credit score, people say, "Oh man, your credit's terrible." And so, what is the range, and where would you say A paper is? Where would you say that other kinds of credit is?
Right. From a conventional standpoint, if you have a 700 FICO score and above, you're going to be invited or open or presented the higher tier programs, which would be considered A paper.
Okay.
That would allow you to have the lower interest rate.
Right.
Anything below that, you have a lower grade. But I'll tell you, Jeff, we're still doing deals down in the 620s. You can still get a 620 deal done and still get 80 to 85% LTV. I don't want people to be discouraged and think that that money is not out there for you individuals.
Right.
Please, from the non-QM world, from a traditional standpoint, 620 can still get you a loan that is fair and competitive. If you're in the FHA market, we can go down as low as a 580 FICO score to still get a deal done for you from a government loan or the FHA loan. So there's still programs out there. There's still money out there for individuals who might be credit challenged. And there's also programs that 24 months away from a credit event in our industry is anything that happened, foreclosure, bankruptcy,
right,
things of those natures. We still can get you into a loan if you have clearance on those. And there's also other loans that will allow you, even after a bankruptcy, a day out of bankruptcy, that will allow you to still get some deals done, even if you do have credit events. The most important thing is, if you have a seasoned loan officer, these programs or our programs out there for you. Don't be discouraged and don't be afraid or embarrassed by a low credit score, because it doesn't mean that you're out of the game.
Right, and I agree with you 100%. That's one of the reasons I wanted to bring up the fact that there is a lot of money out there in programs other than your 30-year fixed. But I wanted to switch gears a little bit. I was talking to somebody the other day. A call came in. They were a customer was complaining about a certain way that a company, not our company, but a company was doing business. And they were saying, well, they were bait and switching me. Now, this is a term that was used a lot back in 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 in those days. It's not a term I hear a lot now, because it's very hard to do, to promise somebody something and then give them something else, because we have certain procedures in place, the loan estimate being one of them. Tell people what the actual nuts and bolts are to when you talk to a client and how quickly you have to get a written loan estimate to them to avoid this bait and switch thing.
You know what? Once we write that application, we have to have information in you by law within 3 days.
Right.
You have to make sure that you're diligent with your loan officer in getting all the documentation in. You also need to be persistent and stay with them in order for them to get that information in so that you can turn it around and get your disclosures out. It's a team effort amongst yourself and your loan officer to get the information in a timely manner. One thing I definitely want to tell people also is, sometimes it may be considered that someone is baiting a switch, but I want people to understand what occurs during a volatile market.
Yep.
During a volatile market, you must understand that things change, products, programs, rates, and terms change on the daily. And what was offered to you when you initially sat down with the loan officer may not be offered 4 hours later, let alone 24 hours later. So I will tell you this. Sometimes you have to keep checking in, and it's also important for your loan officer to make you aware of market changes. Good, bad, or indifferent, it's important for a good loan officer who's looking out for your best interest to let you know when market has changed, when rates have changed, and when different programs are or are not available anymore to you. A good loan officer will come in and tell you, we don't have this anymore because of the market change. A lot of banks and lenders tighten their belt straps up to make sure that they're protecting themselves as well, because they want to keep lending money to you, but they just can't lend that way because the market may change, values may change. So where you may see as a potential client, it might be a bait and switch. It's sometimes, or most times, out of the control of that particular loan officer that you're working with and based upon the bank. And the bank is just making pivots so that they can protect themselves, so they can still be in this market and giving you money to spend. But at the same time, they also have to spend wisely, and they have to underwrite their money wisely. So I do understand bait and switch. Someone may tell you something yesterday that might not be there today. But in this case, when the market is doing what it is right now, please give some leeway to the loan officer and let them give them an opportunity to be able to tell you what has changed, what has not changed, what programs are available, and what the new rates are.
That's an excellent explanation. That's exactly what happened in this particular case. When it was explained, they understood it, but they still had that you know, difficulty trusting. Unfortunately, right now we're up against it. So if you could tell people how they could get in touch with you, great loan officer based out in Las Vegas, Nevada, that'd be awesome.
Absolutely. Jeff, I'd love to. I am at Malibu Funding. So Charles at MalibuFunding.biz. That's Charles at MalibuFunding.boyisaaczenick. And my phone number to reach directly is 702-328-5191.
Excellent. Chuck, thank you very much for coming on. Always appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. Always a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. That's Charles Giscombe from Malibu Funding. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@MalibuFunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show. You know, each and every week we come to you, we bring you information about mortgages. We bring you information about the real estate world, both on a national as well as a local level, to try to give you the leg up when you're either trying to buy that first-time home or you're trying to get the best rate in your mortgage refinance. If you want to see me, this show as well as hundreds of other shows are on YouTube. Jeff Barton, the Mortgage Voice on YouTube, is the best way by which you can not only see me, but also hear and see the guests on the show. If you want to also see more about the guests, go to my website, themortgagevoice.com, and there you can not only see the show, hear the show, you can also see the guests that are on the show. Contact them directly. I'm Jeff Barton. This is The Mortgage Voice. Thanks very much for tuning in. Okay, so we bring local best people. George Gonzalez, been with Malibu Funding for a number of years, is your person out in the IE. Anybody who's out there looking for a terrific loan, he joins us now. Tell us a little bit about the market and what's happening in both real estate and mortgage. George, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Jeff. Doing great. How you doing over there?
You know, we're okay. I mean, I would like to see another 15, 20 loans a month, but other than that, you know, I guess we're hanging in there. How about you?
Oh, yeah, that's good. I would love to see one loans a month, right?
Yeah, your reception's a little rough right now, but I think you said that you'd like to see one to two a month, and I totally agree.
Yes, sir. Any loan right now matters. You know, the way the market is right now, we have buyers out here who, you know, they're on the fence. You know, they're qualified, ready to go. They got their down payment. They're not sure about the interest rates. So they're just, you know, on the fence, waiting to pull the trigger any day.
Do you think it's more about rent or more about this pending sort of we're going to have a recession or we're not going to have a recession? Which do you think has got more, consequence for the particular borrower?
Well, the way I've been explaining it to borrowers who ask me, that's the main question,
right?
That they have is, George, is the housing going to crash? You know, should we buy and wait or wait till? And you know, my response to that, Jeff, is pretty simple. It's like, how much are you paying rent? Then you add up how much they're paying rent every month, compare it to the new mortgage price. And I tell them, listen, even if the market crashes to zero, you'll still need a place to stay. You'll have your house. They can't raise the rent on you.
Right.
What else? It has to go up eventually because that's what the statistics show over history.
No, I agree with that. And I always tell people, you know, that the big crash in 2008, and yes, it was terrible until about 2012, but since that time, every property in Southern California, especially in the IE, has gone up significantly, almost 50% in some cases. So I agree with you. I think that if we're in any market, especially a market that goes down, it's obviously going to bounce back, but I don't think it's going to go down. I have a sneaky suspicion it's going to continue to either stay where it is or go up. There's not enough houses to sell.
Exactly. No, and another thing is, over the last 2 months or month and a half, rates have calmed down and they're starting to edge back down. So, you know, we're back in the fives. We're again in 2000. That's where we were. You know, 11 and 12. We were in the 5%.
Right.
And people were buying like crazy. And you know, another explanation that I'm telling buyers is, you know, these days it's so hard to get a loan that you know you're going to have to qualify for it and you're going to have to put some money into it or else you can't get the house where back in the good days, you know, you didn't require, the banks didn't require so much, scrutiny on your file.
Well, that's why the this particular market is good. That's why the mortgage market is actually, you know, very strong, even though we may be down on percentages in terms of how many loans we're doing. But the loans themselves are excellent. High credit scores, qualified to pay, the ability to repay the loan, all of that is very strong and has been for almost 10 years.
Correct. And now that you say that, yeah, they're all, a lot of the buyers are covered there. Have a few who just don't have the down payment. So what we're doing is we're trying these new down payment assistance programs that are available through, you know, many of our lenders that we are approved with. And they, you know, we see if it fits their criteria. And if it does, some of these buyers don't even need any money to put down. And it's kind of like a buyer's market. So the seller right now is willing to pitch in. Maybe they won't pay the full closing, but I'm sure right now I'm seeing that at least helping in some form.
No, I agree with you. I think that the sellers are much more willing to, especially if they're trying to sell their house. You know, they've probably got a 30-35% equity in the place. So if they're going to negotiate a few thousand bucks towards the seller to the buyer's closing costs, they're still way up. So I think just to get the deal done, they're much more willing to contribute to the negotiation than they were 6 months ago.
100%.
So where do you see, and how is real estate out there? Because I always ask you locally, and George is from Rancho Cucamonga out there in the IE. Where do you see real estate in your area? Is it going up? Is it coming down? Do you see pockets of resistance anywhere? What do you see?
Well, in my area in Rancho Cucamonga area is one of the desired areas for Rancho, for Inland Empire due to the good schooling that's, you know, in the state.
Right.
Those prices really haven't done much. They, I'd say across the board in Rancho, probably 5%, if that, leveling out a little bit.
Okay.
But other, like I'll say, also Fontana, down Riverside and Blythe area, all the way down. So I see more about 10% in the other areas.
Okay, so all these sellers are still way up. I mean, even if it went down 10%, which I think is probably about the lowest it's going to go in terms of the market conditions, because I don't see a recession coming as long and strong as some others do. I do see one coming, but as I said, you know, there's so many things working well in the economy. One of them is real estate, just because of the scarcity of the houses.
Right, you know, and that's exactly right. It's not going to be as bad as it is because now we still have people working who can afford,
right.
You know, and also on that note, a lot of people, sold their property and are just sitting on all this money in their bank. And they're telling me, George, we got to do something with it, you know, because, you know, Mr. Sam, we want to get rid of this money and invest it. So I believe, Jeff, it's going to be a nice spring and nice summer coming up pretty soon.
You know,
real estate.
Yeah, I agree with that. I said that earlier. I said, you know what, I've been on the fence as to how strong the recession is. Now I'm on the fence about when it's going to be. I thought it was going to happen or occur a little bit earlier in 2023, but now I'm saying no, probably later on in the year, and that would be because of layoffs, although I still see the employment rate is about 3.5%, and there are plenty of jobs. What's the job situation out there in the IE?
Well, in particular, Inland Empire, there's not many high-tech jobs or industrial jobs. So, I mean, the basic employment here is there, like the stores, because it has, you know, Victoria Gardens, which is a mall.
Right.
Ontario Mills, another mall. So there are basically a lot of shopping centers. And, I mean, that's the kind of jobs that are in Rancho Cucamonga itself.
Oh, excellent. Okay, well, there's a lot of money out there, and obviously there's work, and people are working well. So a prognostications as to the rest of the year, you're thinking, hey, we're looking at probably a pretty good spring and summer real estate market, which means if we can get rates down into the, you know, high fives, which is kind of where they are now, maybe a little bit lower, it should be a very good year for real estate and for the mortgage business.
Exactly, and like I mentioned to you before, Even if they stay where they're at right now, 5.625, let's say, if they would stay steady for 2 to 3 months, then you'll start seeing people say, okay, now we can deal with this. There's no fluctuation.
Right.
we expect, and therefore, you know, that's another strategy, you know, that I'm helping buyers with, telling also, listen, in the summer and the spring, that's buying season. So if they're not buying now, somebody's going to be buying then, and you're going to be competing again with, you know, with more offers that are out there, where you can just jump on one before the storm.
That's really a good way to look at it as well. Listen, George, we're up against it here. Could you shout out a way or let people know how they can get in touch with you? Great mortgage broker out there.
Yes, you can call me direct on my cell phone or text at 909-900-9565, 909-900-9565.
Excellent, George. Thanks very much for coming on. Always enjoy the update as to the what's happening in our local market. Appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you. That's George Gonzalez, Malibu Funding. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@MalibuFunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to the show. Each and every week, we bring to you different kinds of people, different ways that we can look at whatever your problem is in the mortgage. You know, like, let's say you're trying to get a mortgage. You're not really sure of the process. We have a lot of people that can help at Malibu Funding. Let's say you want a specific area at a price and you're looking for a particular program with a lender, yes, we can do that too. Or you're just looking for an experienced person that you can talk through what you're trying to do before you make any commitments, yes, we have that too. And one of the people that has joined Malibu Funding recently, really appreciate them doing so, brings a wealth of information, not only personally, but experience in the business, as well as in, obviously, our lives. And that's Joan Rabaza, and she joins us now. Joan, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you very much as well. Okay, so everybody who comes to Malibu and works for us has a little bit of a story, a little bit of a history, and you're no exception. You've been in the business a long time, currently now just getting back to it. And I think that's relevant simply because many, many people in our, you know, lending tree, people who have done loans with us, have gone through not only career changes, life changes, and are looking for someone who understands that part of it, because the mortgage, the purchase, the sale is really, you know, all wrapped up in what they're doing in their life. So having somebody to talk to about that is important. How do you bring what you know as a person to the deal with which to help either the buyer or the seller be able to understand, you know, that you're there for them?
Well, Jeff, I think what you said is spot on, and it is really important. You know, it's a people business. Mortgages is a people business. And I think it's really important to be cognizant of the fact that it's not just a house you're dealing with or a loan you're dealing with, it is people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very important. And with a person comes a lot of emotions, you know, a lot of different, oh gosh, just from A to Z, there's all kinds of things that are entailed. And it's a very personal thing for most people. And like you say, a lot of times, you know, I have over 30 years experience in residential mortgages.
Right.
And while I sat out for a little bit, it, you know, it really is amazing what someone with life experience can bring to the table. And being back in the industry is really a blessing. And I've helped people through, you know, like you say, life changes, whether
right.
those are good changes or bad changes. Somebody can be trying to clear up an estate. Somebody can be trying to, you know, with life changes, divorces, there's, you know, birth, there's death, there's all kinds
yep.
of things. And it's really, really important to be able to be, I believe, not just empathetic, but always put yourself in that person's place. And 110% of the time, just all, you know, have the mindset, the do unto others thing. And I believe over the years that that served me well, and customers really appreciate that.
I agree with you 100%. I think a lot of times, especially when it's, you know, during the COVID time period, it got real busy, and a lot of the personal was drained out of the business because there was such pressure to perform at any level in the business, whether it's title companies, whether it's the lenders themselves, the underwriters, of course, anybody who's in setup, and it's always the originators. They're always under the gun to keep producing. One of the key elements of of the history that you're talking about of being in the business, is there a difference between what was to what is? And I would say from a customer standpoint and customer needs, probably not. Maybe programs, sure. Maybe some regulations, absolutely. But I don't see a great deal of difference from when I first got in the business 30 years ago to today. What do you see?
I absolutely agree with you 100% because it is the same. People are the same.
Mm-hmm.
People don't change. Their needs change. Their needs on a day-to-day basis may change, but overall, people want to be treated fairly. They want to be educated based on the process, and that does change a little bit from transaction to transaction.
Sure.
But all in all, I mean, people are looking for, you know, just a good experience. They want to be able to tell a friend. You know, they want to
right.
be able to feel that they got the best deal, that they got, you know, the best rate, that they had the best experience with the best person. So I think that what you said is absolutely spot on.
At the core of it is, of course, communication. And because we've dealt over the last, you know, as I said, 30 plus years in the business, the communication styles of the client, depending on how old they are, really are different. And I always am asking a client, okay, how best do you want to be communicated to? Do you like the phone? Do you like texting? Do you like social media? How is it? So when you're dealing with your clients, do you see that as a positive or change in the industry? Do you like using the newer types of communication more than the older types? I'm a phone person myself, so I would be considered older type. Well, how do you like to be communicated with?
Well, I think that's important because to find out how somebody best interacts. But
right.
I've always thought that, and I've been around, you know, since dial-up. But, you know, dial-up
yep.
and where you had a party line when you made a phone call, you know. So that's a minute anyway.
Yep.
But I think when you deal in what I tell my customers is, you know, this is a very important transaction. This is business. So I prefer to deal with, as long as they're okay with it, voice to voice.
Right.
You know, I don't assume that they're going to read a text. I don't assume somebody's even going to see an email. You know, sometimes people will read things and think, oh, I want to respond in the appropriate way, so I'll get back later. When it's voice to voice, I know that that's an instantaneous, you know, reaction or reply. So I feel that everybody can be on the same page that way. But you're right. There are a lot of different ways people communicate these days. I personally find that voice to voice really, really good. And the old, you know, people used to say no news is good news. Well, I don't think that's always the case. I, you know, even if I have some news that might be a little bit of challenge, I would prefer to communicate that in a very timely manner and voice to voice. I think it's really, really important.
Yeah, I do too. And I also think bad news is best served quickly and also
yes.
with an ear for how can we solve the problem here rather than let's put the blame on somebody. I think there's too much of that going around in the world in general. And in our business, there's always a transaction, right? So there's a realtor involved or two or, you know, and there's sellers and buyers and people out there who really need it done today. Well, a lot of things don't happen today because that's just not how it works. So having quick information being available to the client gives them options by which you can present to them and say, hey, we can do this, we can do this, how would you like to approach it, is always better than hoping and praying that it's going to get done if you don't do anything.
Yeah, by the seat of your pants, I have found over 30 years is not the approach to take.
Right.
It usually doesn't work very well. You know, and as a whole, the lending environment and industry and network is a very, very it's an awesome one. You know, everybody believes in teamwork for the most part. So
yep.
whether you're working with a title person or whether you're working with a realtor whether it's somebody that you've worked with, an experienced person or a brand new person or just someone that you aren't familiar with, for the most part, everybody does have the same goal in mind. It's to get the transaction closed on a timely basis, have the customer happy, have them have a good experience. And I think that's really kind of the name of the game. And being able to be back in the industry after a while, it's really warmed my heart, to be honest with you, to see how everybody, for the most part, really does work together like that.
Yeah, I always, you know, I mean, it's a business for us, right? We got to
For sure.
make money or else, you know, we're on the street. So we're all in it for the same thing, the money, and I'm never ashamed of that. I'm proud of that because I can be as professional as anyone in the business. This is my business, my chosen profession, and I've been doing it a long time, so I'm proud of what we do. I want to ask you where you are and where you do a majority of your business. Where are you doing a lot of your originations?
Well, I am right outside of Tucson, Arizona.
Okay.
So Tucson, Arizona is, I've been here for the last almost 20 years. And prior to that, I was in the western suburbs of the Chicago area.
Oh.
So over the 30-year period between Illinois and Arizona, that's where I had originated most of my mortgage loans.
Well, those are two great areas that Malibu Funding has licensing in. So if you're looking for a terrific agent in those areas, call Joan. Joan, we're up against it. If you could shout out a way by which people could get in touch with you, that'd be great.
Absolutely. This is Joan Rabaza, and you can reach me at 520-975-1954, and I would love to hear from you.
Excellent,
Thanks,
Joan.
Jeff.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you coming on the show. That's Joan Rabaza from Malibu Funding. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show, for watching and listening to us, whether it's on YouTube, whether it's on KCAA, terrific radio station here in Southern California, or it's many of the podcasts that we are also on. Daryl, you have that list for us?
I sure do, Jeff. I just need to push a button here. And it is Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, iHeartMedia, Radio.com, Big Airplanes.
Big Airplanes.
YouTube,
oh,
and,
man.
iPod, iClips.io.
That's right. So if you can go to your window right now and look out, you'll probably see an airplane. And, and we're definitely local, live, and on your radio. If you want us to have a great many different podcasts that you can listen to of all different kinds of information, whether it be lifestyle or health or sports or finance, which is what I am. What I am on podclips.io. Go there, podclips.io. Great place to center your podcasting wants and needs. Okay, I am Jeff Barton. This is The Mortgage Voice. And as I was saying earlier on the show, there are a number of different things that we are doing in the real estate world to try to get a handle on where prices are going to go. Because if you want to buy a house, you're a first-time home buyer, or you know, you're a step-up home buyer, or you're somebody who's getting retired and want to sell and buy something else, you're really interested in the price. You're not only interested in the price you're going to pay, but you're interested in the price that's going to, you know, eventually settle in. If, in fact, we do have a recession, where is that price for the house that you paid going to end up? That's why the recession talk, pushing it off to Q3, maybe Q4, is distressing for people if they want to buy a house now. Now, I always say, if you're working and you can afford it, the payment on the house, whatever kind of loan, whatever kind of rate you get, just understand that that's the most important thing, because real estate is gold in Southern California, as everybody knows. Anybody who bought a house 4 years ago, tell you right now, the house value has gone up 25% to 35%. Now, if we do have a downturn and there is a recession and the property price goes down by 10%, you're still up on the property. So those people feel pretty good about what's happening. It's the people who bought late 2022 and who are buying today. Again, if you can afford the payment and you are pretty sure that you're going to be employed and your income is going to pretty much stay the same or go up, you know that if we do get into a recession, that property value will come back. It's just a matter of time. Even in those really dark days of 2008, 2009, all the way up to 2012, when property values really suffered, we saw property values come back and then push way past what they were during the last high and then down to the last low. So if you had held on and you paid your mortgage because you could still afford it, you are doing okay right now. So that's kind of where we are. A couple of things about pricing your property. Now, last year we talked about Zillow. Zillow is a place where everybody goes to look up their particular property value. What is it worth? They have a great website. They can price your property based on, you know, whatever their particular programming. I hate the word algorithm, but I'm going to use it because I don't really know what it is. But it is a tool by which they use to price your property. They take into consideration the mathematical calculations of the properties being sold around you and estimating the market and where the market's headed, and they come up with a number. Well, all during the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, they were buying properties. They were buying properties in an arm of their company called iBuying. Well, everybody knows who listens to the show, iBuying went bust because the Zestimate or the Zillow estimate of the price of and value of your home was off by a lot. And they got burned by buying properties too high and not being able to sell them for any kind of profit. So that's gone away. But Zillow in what they did was correct. How they did it, no. What they did was try to get a handle on what future value of properties is going to be. What is the future value of property? What is the property value worth today? And what will it be worth in a year, 2 years, 5 years? And then matching the buyer to whatever the long-term play is for that particular buyer. If you're going to raise your kids there and be there 25, 30 years, it's probably unpredictable. However, if you're in because you're buying a house, you're getting into a neighborhood, you want to put your kids in a good high school, but you're out in 4 years, well, that's a different calculation. And if you're relocating annually, that's a whole different calculation. So let's talk about prices, what affects prices, and what we look at when we look at those types of considerations for property values. 2022 existing sales were down 17% to $503 million. Inventory is under a million. That's the big one. If you're looking at why prices have remained high and continue to climb, it's because there's just not enough houses out there. 34% overall sales drop year over year from 2021. 13% since November, 11th consecutive monthly decline. 2.9 months of supply. The median home price of $366,900 is up 2.3% year over year, but it's down 11% since the peak in June of 2022. Now, you see how that's confusing? The reason is it's up, but it's down. Okay, so they look at trends. The trend is that prices are going down, so people are freaking out. But with low inventory, you're not going to see prices crash nationally the way you did back in the day. You may see it in specific markets, especially those that, you know, are on the outskirts of where development might be. But if you are looking to buy a house, and you're trying to figure out what the price of the house is going to be after you buy it, meaning what's it worth, those are good signs. Currently, 26 days. That's what it takes to have a price, have a property on the market to have it sold. Now, in June, it was 2 weeks. So it's increased, obviously, a couple of weeks. 28% of all deals are still done in cash. That's a big number. Think about that. If you look at that 5 million houses sold last year, 25% of that is what? You got it. It's close to 1.5 million properties. That's a lot. Now, Realtor.com, Danielle Hale, I listened to a podcast of hers. She had a couple of interesting things to say about what's happening in the mortgage marketplace as well as the realtor world, obviously. She says the mortgage rate volatility to the downside. Well, I think that that's wrong. I think we're going to see mortgage interest rates continue to decline, albeit it'll be a bit rocky. It'll be up and down a little, but I think in 6 months we're going to see it closer to 5.5 than 6. Investors uptick. So investors are back in the market, slightly uptick from last year at this time. First time home buyers, they are also on a slight uptick from last year. Interesting. Let's see. The sentiment for buyers and sellers is up. The Michigan sentiment for consumers is what we're talking about. Why? Because sellers have huge equity in their house. So they have all the incentive in the world to negotiate with you. If they're trying to pull money out of that property, they are more likely than not to either negotiate price or some other kind of concession. And buyers, the buyers are already in the market. This is what she said. More negotiating power. That's true, too. There's less buyers. They're still in the market. Property prices aren't rising as fast. Sellers will probably be more willing to negotiate with you than not. And that's Danielle Hale from Realtor.com. really excellent. I listened to Jamie Dimon. He's the he's actually the Monopoly man of Chase Manhattan Bank. I mean, if you ever see him, you put a mustache and a monocle. Yep, that's the guy. Anyway, he's been there forever and very smart man, and has four different reasons why challenges that could impact the global economy this year and what it means to you. I'll just run through them quickly. We have about 1 minute left for this segment. Geopolitical tensions. Well, that's true. War. Absolutely in Ukraine. Oil. Wheat up 55%. Two. Energy food supplies. Obviously, 45% of food costs are in energy. So if we're talking about oil and we're talking about not coal, obviously that's a problem. Number three, inflation. Well, we talked about inflation. It's still running too hot at 6.5%. Better, but not great. So expect the Fed to raise rates. And four, yes, the quantitative tightening. The Fed is going to continue to raise rates, as I just said, and that's going to affect most of the confidence in the marketplace and probably lead to the mild recession that we've been talking about just later in the year. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit www.malibufunding.net.